Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're devoting this morning's show to two of the 32 topics that will be discussed at the event called A Woman's Journey, a week from Saturday at the Hilton Inner Harbor on Pratt Street. Each year, nearly 1,000 women attend this session to get tips from experts at Johns Hopkins Medicine about new developments in health and medicine. We just heard about the connection researchers are drawing between inflammation and chronic diseases like cancer and heart disease. Rheumatologist Dr. Lisa Christopher Stein told us that watching what we eat can help control inflammation. I want to pick up on the medical dimensions of our diets with nutritionist Linda McIntyre. She's a clinical dietitian specialist with Johns Hopkins Medicine and a nutrition cancer specialist at Sibley Hospital in Washington, from where she joins us by phone. Welcome to On the Record.
Thank you.
I understand you work with cancer patients and also people who want to prevent cancer. Tell us about that.
Well, I work with patients who are going through either treatment, chemotherapy, or radiation, and we work on optimizing their diets to get the best results from their treatment and limit their side effects. And then I work with patients once they've completed their treatment, and we really look at how diet may improve their longevity and survivorship. So we're really looking at it through a spectrum of their treatment and post-treatment.
A phrase that I saw in one of your presentations, eat the rainbow. What does it mean to eat the rainbow?
Studies have shown us that foods that are very brightly colored, things like yellows, oranges, blues, greens, and reds, contain the maximum amount of different antioxidants and nutrients that help to protect our cells and keep our bodies as healthy as possible. So one of the things that I recommend to my patients is that they should eat a variety of colors throughout the day. So not just focusing on the typical five a day, but at the end of the day, have they eaten something from each one of the different colors of the rainbow?
So how would that play out in a typical diet from a typical grocery?
So you might start breakfast out with a nice high-fiber cereal, and on top of that, you might add a half a cup of blueberries. And then as a snack during the day, you might have some carrots, orange with some hummus. For lunch, you might have a brightly colored green salad using spinach and arugula. And on top of that, you might add some bright red peppers. And then at dinner time, you might have your nice piece of lean meat with a baked potato. So you would be adding orange. So we've got red, orange, green throughout that day, and blues in addition from the blueberries.
And is that also going to give me the fiber I need?
So fiber comes in a number of different plant-based foods. Fiber is the backbone of a plant-based food. It's not digested by our GI tract. So we do find it in fruits and vegetables, but we also find fiber in beans are an excellent source, beans and legumes like garbanzo beans, red beans, black beans, as well as whole grains. Brown rice, whole wheat breads, a quinoa are all examples of foods that would be excellent sources of fiber.
You know, I think many of us know we should eat more fiber, less fat, more plants, but, you know, we don't like those foods as much as the processed foods with butter in them. And it's kind of easy to rationalize that maybe it's not as important as being sure to take the pills that the doctor prescribed. How do you sort that out for your patients?
Well, we know that lifestyle changes like healthy diet and exercise can have a tremendous effect on decreasing our rates or risk of disease. We also know that through healthy diet, losing weight, that you may be able to get off of medications that the doctors prescribed and manage your disease states through simply diet and exercise alone. We also know that if you need to lose weight, losing just 5 to 10% of your current body weight, if you're overweight, can decrease your risk of diseases like colon cancer, breast cancer, or prostate cancer, as well as helping you to decrease your cholesterol levels and lower your blood glucose levels, so helping to manage if you're a diabetic.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with nutritionist Linda McIntyre about the power of diet in good health. At the Johns Hopkins Women's Journey Day, a week from Saturday, she'll be discussing power foods and meatless Mondays. Serving up power foods, what do you consider a power food?
Well, power foods are defined as foods that naturally contain high amounts of vitamins, minerals, and other nutritional benefits. They help to energize you, boost your immune system, help to ward off diseases, and incorporating these power foods into your diet is a simple way to optimize your health.
So what are the power foods that we should pay most attention to?
Well, there are a number of power foods, and I discussed 10 of these power foods during my presentation at A Woman's Journey. So these 10 power foods include avocado, beans, berries, broccoli, eggs, leeks, nuts, oats, spinach, and yogurt. And then I also talk about some other superfoods that may be in the same family as these 10 power foods.
When you talk about meatless Mondays, mm-hmm. that implies to me that you're not necessarily advocating that we get rid of meat in our diets, but that we cut back on it.
Well, Meatless Monday is brilliant in its simplicity. It's actually a campaign that was started by Johns Hopkins School of Health, and what it looks to do is encourage people to one day a week, and that's on Monday, to go meatless. So it's simple. You simply don't eat meat on Mondays. And that small change in the way you eat can have profound changes in your health, on the environment, and on your wallet.
If it's such a small change, why is it going to have profound changes on my health?
Well, studies have found that by decreasing the amount of meat that you eat in your diet on a weekly basis, you can reduce your risk of heart disease and stroke. You can limit your cancer risk, might help fight diabetes. It helps to curb obesity. We find that eating more plant-based foods and less meat help you to live longer, as well as improving the overall nutritional quality of your diet.
All that from one meatless meal a week?
All of that from decreasing the amount of meat and increasing, it's two prongs, increasing the amount of fruits and vegetables and whole grains.
So it's not just that you think if I get started one meal a week, it'll spread and pretty soon I'll be a vegetarian.
Well, we're not really looking to promote vegetarianism throughout the week itself, but we are looking to improve the quality of diet by decreasing meat and increasing fruits and vegetables and plant-based foods. So healthy amounts of meats can certainly be included the rest of the week. We're just really emphasizing one day a week, it being a meatless Monday.
When we're talking about a meatless meal, are there particular power foods we should be thinking of?
Yes. In my presentation, I'll talk about the five Meatless Monday power protein foods. Those include eggs, legumes, nuts, soy, and yogurt.
Soy as in soybeans?
Soy as in tempeh, tofu, and edamame.
Gluten-free is kind of a buzzword these days. How does that fit into your view of nutrition?
So there are a certain very small percentage of people that might have diagnosed celiac disease and autoimmune response to gluten in the diet, and there may be a certain percentage of people that are actually gluten-sensitive. However, what I'm finding from most of my patients is that limiting gluten may be of benefit, but that highly processed gluten-free foods really do not provide much benefit to the general population. Once again, they tend to be higher in cost. They contain almost no fiber. And for most of the population, there's no real need to go gluten-free.
One last question.
Sure.
Is it worth the extra cost to eat organic?
There's really no clear answer to that. Studies that have been done in the last few years, one by Stanford in 2014, found that organic foods are not necessarily higher in their nutrient content. However, by using organic foods, we are decreasing our exposure to pesticides and additives. What I usually recommend to my patient are those fruits and vegetables that they eat most often. So, for example, in my house, we eat a lot of spinach. That would be a food that I would buy organically because I would limit my exposure then to pesticides. What's most important is that you are eating the fruits and vegetables. whether or not they are conventional or organic, once again, we get the protection from eating enough plant-based foods.
I really appreciate this conversation. Thank you.
Thank you, Sheila.
Linda McIntyre is a clinical dietitian specialist with Johns Hopkins Medicine and a nutrition cancer specialist at Sibley Hospital in Washington. Her session at the Women's Journey event, November 5th, a week from Saturday, is titled Serving Up Power Foods on Meatless Mondays. The all-day event will take place at the Hilton Inner Harbor on Pratt Street in Baltimore. At the On the Record page, WIPR.org, we have a link to Women's Journey. I'm Sheila Cast. Glad you've been with us today. Come back tomorrow.